Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith. And with the Lord's help, we'll conclude a message I've been ministering on this week entitled Walking in Truth. And the final area we were looking at where self-deception is possible are deceptions of the heart, a result of ignorance or misunderstanding of God's Word. And we ended yesterday's broadcast sharing about careless hearing of the Word of God. As James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Also, we understand from James an unbridled tongue. There's deception there. If our tongue is not bridled, James 1:26 says, "If any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain." These are some hard scriptures, aren't they? And then, of course, there's spiritual bondage, and that relates to idols in the heart. In Isaiah, the 44th chapter, God is speaking to Jacob and Israel, his chosen people, and they had turned aside to idols. Verse 18 says, "They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. He feedeth," verse 20, "on ashes, a deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot say, is there not a lie in my right hand?" And what was Israel's error? A very human error. They weren't able to admit they were wrong. None of us want to admit we are ever wrong. The most important event in your life, beloved, is when you are able to admit that you are wrong, that you are deceived, that you were wrong, that you were deceived, and throw yourself on the mercy of Jesus and ask Him to give you a new life, His thoughts, His attitude. Somehow, after the new birth, we seem incapable of admitting error. You know, especially the longer we've walked with the Lord, there's a certain spiritual pride that comes. And beloved, it's only by grace that we stand. But for the grace of God, there go I. Whatever person you can see in a terrible state, if it wasn't for God's goodness in your life, you could be in their position. You know, there's the world of difference between God's love and our conception of it. There are warnings in the Word of God. We need to be aware of the great spiritual warfare that we are in. Matthew 24:24 talks of false Christs, false prophets, signs and wonders, that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. And beloved, that's why I'm taking the time, and I want to spend some time in prayer at the end of this broadcast, that God will keep us on the straight and narrow way. I won't take the time to read it, but if you remember in Matthew 25, verses 11 through 12, Jesus is sharing the parable of the foolish and wise virgins. Now, they were all virgins. They were all waiting for the appearance of their Lord. But to the five foolish who would not have their lamps trimmed, who were slothful about the things of the Lord, He says, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not." And obstinate sinners are often given up to self-delusion. Psalm 81 and 11 says, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lusts." I gave them up to their own hearts' lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. Beloved, God wants us to walk in His counsel, to seek after wisdom and understanding. With all thy getting, get understanding. And we see in Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 10 and 11, he's speaking of the mystery of iniquity at work, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Beloved, this entire week, as I've shared warnings against self-deception, what's the antidote? It's found just in this scripture I shared with you, the love of the truth. Those that are perishing, they perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Beloved, let us love the truth. And I'm sure, now going on a positive direction, if you will, you would, I trust, know that truth is part of the Christian's armor. In Ephesians 6:14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Now, we don't speak, we don't use that terminology, having your loins girt about with truth, so it's well to have a bit of a definition. And by definition, that's the lower region of the back, the seat of strength. That's where a person is strong. And it's the body between the ribs and the hip bone, where a girdle or belt is worn, and the sword, of course, was worn. To gird one's loins with sackcloth, as we read in the scriptures, it was a sign of mourning. And as we read the prophets, especially Jeremiah, as we read about pain and terror, they were reflected in a weakness and shaking of the loins. So this is the area, the very core of our being, if you will, that our loins are to be girded with truth. And that will signify there's a strength that comes in attachment to the truth. What does the words tell us? The word says, have your loins girt about with truth. Stand, therefore, stand in this evil day. Praise God. And we also know in Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verse 5, it's speaking of Jesus, the righteous branch. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And we know a beautiful passage found in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 9, and the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. I'll read that again. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And beloved, I trust you know that we have someone that Jesus left with us. He sent him to us, and he has been with us ever since the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came as the sound of a rushing, mighty wind and filled those first disciples and apostles with the Holy Spirit, empowering them to do the works of God. And God has not changed. Didn't single them out. They were given the original task of establishing the church, but from there, from Jerusalem, from Judea, it went to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Holy Spirit has been given to every single believer. When we accept Jesus, he comes to dwell within our spirit. And yet there's an even further step as we examine the scriptures. As Paul spoke to the Ephesians, have you been filled with the Spirit since ye believed? The manifestation of the fullness of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, speaking with other tongues, is a scriptural evidence that God's Spirit has come to empower us to live this Christian life. And one of the tasks of the Holy Spirit is to guide us into all truth. Jesus said explicitly in John, the 16th chapter, verse 13, "For he," referring to the Holy Spirit, "shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come." God's truth is also our shield and buckler. Praise God. Psalm 91, that beautiful psalm, verse 4 says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Beloved, we should pray for the truth of God to be manifested to ourselves. Just as Solomon prayed in 2 Chronicles 6 and 17, he said, "Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified. Let it be true which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David." We should also pray, beloved, for the truth of God to be exhibited to others. The word tells us that we will know the truth and will set us free. And finally, in Philippians 4 and 8, we're told that rather than dwelling on the negative, dwelling on how evil the world is becoming, I mean, yes, we know that, and I think it's good to listen to the news, to be informed so we can pray. But the things we should meditate and think upon are those things that are true and honest and just and of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think or meditate upon these things. And the last scripture I'll share with you is found in 1 Corinthians 13 and 6. And as the people of God, we are to rejoice not in iniquity, but to rejoice in the truth. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'd like to close this broadcast in prayer and ask you to join me if the Holy Spirit touching your heart and you've been exhorted by the Word of God. Father, we thank you for your Word. Lord, sometimes it isn't easy to hear your Word, but Lord, we know that you chasten every son. In fact, if we don't have chastening, we're not a son or a daughter. And so, Father, we're asking you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Any area, Lord, dependence upon the things of this world or conceit or material prosperity, or perhaps, Lord, perhaps we haven't understood your word. There's been an ignorance or lack of application. Forgive us for that, Lord. We don't want to be just hearers of the word of God. We want to be doers. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, and cause us, Lord, to walk in your truth and in your righteousness. We thank you for the finished work that Jesus provided for us, and we rest and trust in your grace that you will perfect all that concerns us. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, thank you for the privilege of allowing me to minister to you this week. And as I said, it wasn't an easy subject to preach on, but it's something we all need to hear. I love you. God bless you. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.